Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. Small Biz Coaching is the name of my company. You can find me online at smallbizcoaching.net. I am very, very pleased to have with us today Todd Lamance, who is an author, a motivational speaker, and his latest book is Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, and it goes along with a subject that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, not as in-depth as we're going to today, though, about how, as a small business owner, your ego needs to come in second place. Welcome to the show, Todd. I appreciate you being here.
Lori, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Well, I started several small businesses in my early to mid-20s, and one of them I became very successful, financially successful, and I went from me and my ex-wife, just a family business, to about 70 employees. And I wrote the book about how I let my ego get into my entrepreneurship and my small business and ruined my financial life, my relationship life, and almost my whole life. And that's what my book is about, is how, sometimes you get the best of yourself. Your ego can get the best of you if you're not careful.
Nowhere is that more true than in entrepreneurship, because basically as an entrepreneur, you're your show. You're the whole show.
Mm-hmm. I've been coaching to entrepreneurs, and one of the first things I tell them is to not underestimate how much work it's going to be, and that you have to keep in mind whatever you've been doing. A lot of times I know I'm in a problem if I start reading my resume. Well, I was a manager here, and I was an owner here. If I start thinking that way, when I go into a new business, I have to keep in mind that I'm competing with people who have been doing this for a while, and they're obsessed
mm-hmm.
with it also. So to get caught up, I need to get going.
And as small business owners, sometimes we're in love with our own ideas because they are our ideas. And we think that we can do no wrong. And so how does the ego get tied in from the get-go?
Anytime I'm consulting with business people and I ask them to tell me their story, one thing I'm always amazed by is they always tell you all the bad things and how it was the toughest time and how long they worked. What they don't ever usually tell you until I pry it out of them is the blessing and the breaks that came along the way and the people that have helped them. Because you and I both know that
mm-hmm.
you can't be successful in business without good people, and you have to surround yourself with good people. No one's ever done anything by themselves in the history of the world. So you have to tell both sides of the story because that's as important.
Exactly. Nobody can start a business in a vacuum, and there's always going to be somebody who's giving you advice along the way. Whether or not you took it is a totally different story.
One challenge I've
had. And that's
had
another
is,
area
you know,
where.
Go One ahead. Challenge I've had is insulating my people with yes people. A lot of times my own comfort level with ego is to get people who agree with you. That's who we're attracted to, is people who like the same things. But in a healthy company, you need people with different skill sets. I look at it like a football team. You have people with different body types, different speed, different size, different abilities at different positions. If you moved them around, you wouldn't win a game. But and a company's a lot like that. We don't need five people like Laura, five people like Todd. We need a diversification.
With different skill, not just different skill sets, but different experience sets. Because
not
you could bring in a whole bunch of people who have the same experience or the same skills, but they may not have come to those skills in the same direction. And it's that experience that gives you a different outlook on the same set of situations.
Well, I've studied successful. I agree with you 100%. I've successful people for years. And one thing I think a lot of people don't realize is the most successful people have failed the most, because we only really learn when we lose. So like you said, people's past experiences made them who they are. And we don't all learn from our mistakes, but we learn from pain and we learn from discomfort. So So if you're not there yet, some pain is good for you. It's good for growing and it's good for business.
Well, I tell clients too that Sam Walton declared bankruptcy 7 times before he became successful. That doesn't mean that he was a loser. That meant that he learned along the way And that unless you're willing to let go of your preconceived ideas, you're never going to grow. And that ties into the ego as well, because a lot of people are so tied to their own ideas, they can't let go enough to see that there's a different way of doing things.
You do. You fall in love, and sometimes you do have to just accept, you know, criticism. And you know, that's important to me, is to have honest people around me. I know one trap I fell into as a business owner was when I stopped seeing value in people. And then I realized that was on me. It wasn't them. Everyone has, you know, has good qualities. And if you don't see any of those, you really have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself of being, are you just being too hard on everybody? And you have to get encouragement to people. Don't underestimate your people also. You know, a lot of times we go too much on what we've done, our past, you know, a resume. Because in business, every business is a bottom line business. It doesn't matter what you used to do. It doesn't matter how much you used to make. It matters what you did today. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, and being so tied to your own ideas keeps you from being able to make the changes necessary to be successful. What you did before, let's say you're a serial entrepreneur, this is your third business. The skill set you need today to be in business as an entrepreneur is not the same that you needed 10 years ago.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's way more competition. You know, I was talking about, I do a lot of YouTube videos, and you know, 30 years ago, to put a video out, it was very expensive. To do a video, you needed 20, 30,000 to do a real professional quality. Well, with technology and stuff, you can do it a lot cheaper. I mean, you can do it for $1,000. But there's 50,000 people downloading videos every day. So it makes it harder to get your stuff out there. So you still, there's different challenges than there were too. So if you're still using that old business model from years ago, it just plain won't work.
We were talking before the show a little bit about this idea of needing to make changes to adapt to current business situations. A lot of people will do what they've always done because it's worked for them in the past. They don't recognize when it stops working. And so you're trying to pry them loose from their pre-existing ideas of what's going to work and what's not. And one of those has to do with business processes. Well, you know, I've always used this spiral notebook of ledger sheets. And so that's what I'm going to use for my accounting. And I've always used this Rolodex for all of my business contacts. There's no sense in going and trying something new. But really, you're limiting yourself by your own ego.
Yeah, I agree. And you don't realize that to compete and be competitive, you need to use modern technology. And a lot of times why people don't do it is fear. They say they're afraid to do any more work. And that kind of, you know, I do some talks about business laziness. And I talk to students, college students, and I say, you know, in this economy now, believe it or not, showing up for work on time is going to separate you from 97% of the population. And
yes.
I think if business owners will say, oh, I don't need to change that, it ain't broken, don't fix it. But the real thing is they're afraid because they don't understand it. And it's made and it's developed, so you will be able to use it, and it's user-friendly. You just kind of have to break through that fear and, you know, and say, I'm not, you know, I deserve better. We need to be more productive.
How do you deal with clients who come to you and say, well, this is how we've always done it. We've always done it this way. This is the way we're always going to do it.
Well, a couple examples I give when that question comes. I talk about how do they recruit. And the one that always gets that I cringe is they say job boards. You know, they go on ZipRecruiter and Indeed, and I tell them right away, I say, the best people aren't going to be on Craigslist. You know, and I say, and I've already interviewed them, I talked to them, I say, you've been in this business 30 years. You've been in this business 15 years. So you should know 15 good people. You work for these different companies. You should know 30 different people. So if you're going to sit here and pound on your chest and say what an expert you are, how you have your 10,000 hours, part of that in that process is you should have some contacts. You talked to me about, you know, going out and networking, even when you're, you know, companies, when you're already, a lot of times people think, I'm staff, so I'm fine. And that is important. That's job one, is to have enough players on the field. But you need to constantly be looking for new people. You need to be getting people's skills better to do more of your work. You know, and I always laugh when someone says, yeah, my boss hired me to, and I do their job. It's like, well, of course, that's why they hired you. You know, why would they hire someone
and
who couldn't do their job?
Well, the fact that they hired you because they want to delegate to you says a lot about the person that did the hiring. Because a lot of small businesses, entrepreneurs, even medium-sized businesses, the management will not let go, which is total ego. I'm not going to let go of this because nobody can do it as well as I can. But if you find someone who's actually delegating, that's what they're supposed to do.
And I have a problem with that, too. And I talk to owners and managers about this. With their seniority and their knowledge, they shouldn't be fixing the copier and taking the garbage out. You know, and they say, I have to do everything
right
around here, you know. Well, that's, again, is their ego thinking that they're better than everyone else. And so would they spend their whole day doing Timeburg or lower-level activities when their skill set, with their knowledge and experience, we need them doing, you know, the higher-level stuff, making decisions and training and recruiting. That's going to pay so much more rewards than sending out stupid emails and meetings about the next meetings.
Well, and if you can hire somebody at even $30 an hour to empty the trash and send those emails and file in your file folders or clean up your email, you're still going to be making money if you're spending your time building your business, marketing, networking, finding the next big thing that's going to be for your company.
But yeah, just you talking to me right now, I'm thinking about this. Tom Hopkins. He's a speaker, and he was in the real estate salesperson for many years. And he used to laugh because in Southern California, the market was so hot at the time, his fellow realtors would go work on the rental properties as amateur plumbers and amateur painters. And he said, they go and save themselves $300 doing the work themselves, and I go sell a house and make $30,000 in the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
He said he could never get his head around it. And when he tried to talk to his, you know, he had his own company and tried to talk to his realtors about it, they didn't get it either. It's like they literally don't get it. This is not the best way to spend your time. You're more valuable shaking hands and being the town, as I like to say.
Exactly. And in your book, Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, one of the things that you talk about is perception. And I'm a firm believer that perception is reality. How I perceive something is my reality. It may not be the true reality, but it's reality for me. So how is it that reality can stop you from growing as a business owner?
One thing I see common in the perception thing is with managers, I talk a lot about middle managers and owners, is they don't see value in people. And I think what happens is, you know, even if they don't say it, if they're not abusive, you know, verbally abusive with their people, or they can feel it, so you don't get the most out of people. You know, if you don't believe someone can do a job, it doesn't matter what they do, they're never going to, like you said, their perception is reality. And they're going to feel that energy, and you're not going to get the best out of them. But if you really believe in them and don't underestimate them, And you know, give them encouragement, you'd be surprised, and give them some creativity. I think in small businesses, we talked about businesses that are established who get kind of stagnant and don't. Your new ideas is what you need to grow, you know, and there should be rewards for new ideas. That's what we need. We need to be more competitive, so we need better people. We need people that work harder and come up with new solutions and better processes.
But a lot of times, we won't hire those people because they challenge us.
And that's fear. And you need pushback. If you hire people that all agree, you're in a sinking ship, I promise.
It's true that we all do need an ego, because if we didn't have an ego, we wouldn't be entrepreneurs. If we didn't think that we had the next best idea or a good idea that was marketable, we wouldn't be in business. But letting that ego get in the way is a problem, and that's where your book draws the line. And you've got some really interesting exercises in your book. Talk a little bit about how you formulated those and what some of those exercises are.
Some of the exercises are being a good evaluator of where you're at. A lot of times in my life and my career, when I started having financial success, I started to think I was smarter than everybody else. So that gets to be a problem, and you start to kind of feel entitled, and you don't really grow when things are going well. You usually grow when you're hurting and when the bills are a little bit behind. So one thing a lot of business owners do is when things get really, really well, they're you know, buying houses in Florida and buying houses in Hawaii and traveling. They're not present in their business. And then there's the other side when a business starts struggling and you're afraid to go to work because you can't handle the problems, you know, and that's all ego and it's all fear-based. Because if you're not present in your business, like if you're not present in any relationship, it's not going to last. But in your business as the owner, as the leader, you have to be there. You have to be there a lot. You have to be there to make decisions and you have to be there just to be present.
Do you find in a lot of cases that when ego gets in the way, businesses stop becoming intentional and they start becoming reactive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll give you an example. With smaller businesses, you know, you look at these big corporations. Let's just take any car company, Hyundai, Chevy, Ford, Pepsi, Coke. They run commercials continuously, right? Everyone knows what Pepsi is, right? No, everyone in this world knows what Pepsi is. But they keep running commercials. And in small businesses, if let's say you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you're a contractor, well, you think everyone knows me. I've been here for 30 years. All my business is from referrals. They get that kind of attitude. It's like, well, what makes you different? What makes you think you don't have to advertise? And I used to, in the Seattle area, I used to talk to some of my competitors, and they would do the same thing, pound on their chest and be proud that they didn't advertise. And I'd say, oh, I advertise, and I get all kinds of customers. And guess what? They have money, too, and they're great people, too. I'm not ashamed of that at all. I'm proud of it.
Well, and why would you be afraid to market something and tell people about it? That I talk to clients all the time about the fact that you need to spend 20% of your time with 80% of the people, with the people who are bringing you 80% of your money, or vice versa. I mean, and so what you need to be doing is you need to be spending as much time marketing yourself as you do on your actual job of doing your client work. And it's got to be continuous, especially if you're a freelancer or a brand new entrepreneur who's experiencing the ups and downs of being new in business. You've got to be willing to market all the time. Some people will say, well, I can't market. I don't have time to market because I'm too busy. That person is the one that 6 months down the road, when all that business is done, is going to be crying because they have no business.
They do. And you're planting seeds for the future. You absolutely have to be, first and foremost, nothing happens until something's sold. That is priority one. And just because you're booked up, doesn't mean that won't change in a second. I was on a show earlier today, and we talked about momentum. And a lot of times you lose a client, and the company will have this attitude, and it could be a big client. They have this attitude, oh, well, you know, our margins weren't that good for them. They weren't that good a customer. The real fear I have as a consultant and stuff is that momentum will add. So, yeah, you did – that is – everything you said was true, but you don't want to take away that momentum of a customer client, lose a client, then another client finds out about it. You have to be very mindful of where you're going in the momentum. You know, you have to replace that client with five clients. You just can't start losing clients. It doesn't work like that.
Well, and you've got intentional about it. You can't be successful by accident. You've got that plan. You've got to execute that plan. Within that plan, you have to have steps, and you've got to hit each of those steps. And you've got to continually be reevaluating, or you'll end up with those peaks and valleys, and you'll end up with only reacting. One good case in point, and I want to get your opinion about this, the client who, when deadlines came up, rather than let the client know, hey, I know we've got a deadline on Thursday, here's where we stand, I'll get back to you on Wednesday and let you know where we are. He would dodge the client until the work was done, figuring, well, the client's bugging me. I got to get this done so he'll stop bugging me. Instead of, hey, I'm working for the client. I need to get in touch with you so that you won't bug me.
Right. And then the person's going to be unhappy with the service. I think that service levels, because of so much competition, has to come up. I think you have to, you know, it's a thing with relationships. you want to show people that you care, you know, more than you do just want to tell them. Because nowadays everyone has good service, but like, you know, the example you just gave, you know, it makes me cringe because I just think if I was the person that was spending that money, the first thing I was thinking of, what I would think was, I'm never going to use these guys again. As soon as this is done, I'm going to find someone that at least will call me back, you know?
Yeah. Well, and in the world of customer service, because I do a lot of consulting with companies that have customer service problems, all people want is to be acknowledged. They just want somebody to say, I hear you, I understand, let me see what I can do. Even if you don't agree with them, they just want to be acknowledged.
They want to be heard, absolutely. And they, yeah, and it's being transparent and being honest always works, you know, because the customers now are more savvy than others, and they listen more and they do more research. So a lot of times when they ask you questions, kind of similar to if you're an owner of a company and you ask one of your employees a question, it isn't because you want to know the answer. You already know the answer. You would just want to know what the heck they were thinking when they made this decision.
Yeah.
And that's why you ask it.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing a big shift in the way business is being done from companies, big companies, hiring lots of employees to more of a gig economy. There's been a lot of discussion in 2016 about the rise in the gig economy. How does ego play into that when we're talking about so many business owners, freelancers, entrepreneurs, becoming part of a subculture?
You're cutting out on me there.
We're talking about the gig economy and subcultures. There seems to be a lot of, in different areas of the country, there seems to be a lot more ego in play when we're talking about the gig economy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got subcontractors and entrepreneurs and freelancers all working on the same project, each one with their own business. Are you seeing much of that in your practice?
I am, and it's just seems so phony, and it's very transparent. And it, anytime somebody gets the people who kind of are the loudest and they don't show me, and you can kind of tell they're more of the braggers than that. I definitely think it's a problem. You know, it's a problem for everybody, for service levels and for profitability.
Here in Austin, we have kind of a unique situation where you might have 100,000 writers or musicians or graphic designers or whatnot, all in the same area, but everybody's supporting one another. And I don't see that in other areas of the country where you get people all doing the same thing, all supporting one another. How do you, I know what I tell my clients, which is basically, there's always going to be somebody who has a different vision for you than yours. It may not be, it's neither right nor wrong. It's just a different vision.
Yeah.
But then you're dealing with companies that are tied to what they do. They're not willing to change their vision to fit a client. How do you coach a client to get past their ego when it comes to their client's business?
And I think I think we're better doing it as a community and helping, working with one another. I mean, I have gone as much as I do. I've done a lot of outside sales jobs, and I would go out with competitors, and we would work together, and we'd say, you know, you do this and I do this. You know, you have to get out of the mentality that there's more millionaires, there's more ways to become a millionaire than there are millionaires, right? And so you can get energy and you can build something out of nothing. You know, the music industry is a prime example of that. So I think you have to realize that there's an abundance to be had. You know, we get so set in our ways, we don't think big enough. We don't dream big enough. You know, it's like if you were going to go out and open up a restaurant today, you want to think about making $10 million a year. You want to think about making $36,000 a year. Because if you only think you're going to make $36,000, how much work are you really going to put into it? You have to go into it with, you know, with some real ambitious, realistic goals.
But isn't ego tied into that as well? I don't want to get too big because I don't want to fail.
I think it's mostly fear of the work. I think a lot of times what we do is we fool ourselves and we make our goals so, like, instead of just doing one thing, we'll make it into 100 things. So what do we end up doing? We end up doing nothing. We end up not even getting started, you know, and we use it as an excuse as, you know, the waiting game. Well, when the kids are out of school, or I have never seen a business fail because of resources, but I have seen every business fail because of lack of hard work. You know, the only people that really fail in businesses are the ones that give up. If you're gritty and willing to stick it with it, you will survive and thrive.
They're the ones that don't want to, they like you said, put in the work that's needed to do the marketing, to do the actual work of the job. They just want to direct. I had a client not that long ago who wanted to be a conduit for a bunch of subcontractors under her and have them all do their work, and she just kind of play maestro.
Yeah, and that never
and
works.
And those kind of businesses are going to fail.
They do, and a lot of times you see second-generation businesses where there's an abundance of money. So people get in the habit. You have to kind of know everything about your business. You don't have to know it in detail, but you have to know enough to hold people accountable. If you're going to hire contractors and stuff, you need to at least know a little bit about it so you can know if you're being charged the right amount. You need to at least know what a good job is and a bad job. If you're just writing checks for things, it's kind of like, you know, people who go out and hire a personal trainer or a dietitian, a lot of times they're just looking to write a check and have something done for them as opposed to doing the push-ups themselves or changing their dietary habits. The hard part, the training is just a guide. You still have to do the heavy lifting.
Do you think that this is one of the reasons why there's such a high rate of business failure amongst new businesses?
I do. I think a lot of people get into businesses for all the wrong reasons. People get into small businesses thinking they don't have to work anymore a lot of times. And they'll think about how much they used to make at their other job and how much their salaries were at their old job, and as opposed to what it's really going to take. They're unrealistic about the obstacles. You know, and you've started small business and I have. You and I know you got to throw the clock out the window. You know, you have to outwork everybody else. But the nice thing is not everyone else is willing to do that, you know.
Well, and one of the things, too, that you and I have both seen in the world of small business is people go into business because, let's say, they're a great carpenter. They're a really bad business manager. They feel like they have to do and all of that stuff that they are not good at. And it's because they feel like if they let it go, they're admitting they don't know how to be a good business owner. Instead of saying, hey, I'm not a good business owner, I need your help.
Or worse, they trust somebody to do all that for them without holding them accountable because they don't know, as opposed to taking the time and saying, a lot of times I found, you know, we talked about this offline, is people are too shy about telling people that they're best at what they do. They just kind of think, oh, I've been doing this a long time. People should already know that. It is your job to educate your customers that you have why you're the best and why you're the best for them. Because if you don't do it, someone else will come along and tell them. And whether they're right or not, they usually aren't. But they're going to separate themselves because I call them shameless self, you know, embellishers. You know, they tell everyone they're the best.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Todd Laments. Your book is Lose Your Ego, Gain the World. How can people find you?
I'll just Google my name. I'm all over the web, and I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Todd Laments, author.com, and it's LEMENSE. Thank you so much for being with us today, Todd. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to having you back on the show with us. We've been talking with Todd Laments he's an author. Lose Your Ego, Gain the World really shows us how we need to kind of take a step back in our own businesses and let other people's ideas help with what we're doing. I'm Lori Liker, smallbizcoaching.net is my website. Come back next week. We've got Susie Setz. She's a Fiverr entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about how you as a small business owner can really use Fiverr to drive traffic to you and to take advantage of it for the benefit of your business. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.